We're going to be talking about two techniques today, scaling and amplification.
Scaling is a technique borrowed from family therapy. Scaling is used to help clients, family members, and clinicians establish goals. We'll demonstrate this in a role play using the events described with Johnny in the last podcast.
When we do scaling, we use five steps. So the first thing we do, the first step, is briefly reviewing Johnny's current speech language behavior, and then have Mary, who's playing the mother, rate his speech language on a 1 to 10 point scale, with 10 being the best and 1 being the poorest. Second, we'll look to the future. We'll talk about a time when Mary would find Johnny's behavior on track. That is, that speech-language treatment, she may think, would no longer be necessary. And she'll give a number to that behavior, and she'll describe it. Third, we'll identify a small change that would lead to move speech-language behavior up maybe a half a point or a point from what she originally scaled it in number one. The fourth step is we'll search for exceptions. So is there ever a time that he's done the new behavior that we agree upon? And finally, we'll suggest some home activities that I think would be useful to bring about short-term change.
All right, we'll begin the role play, and I will be the mother, and Jim is the clinician.
Here's a little different way to think about Johnny's speech language. We could rate his speech and language on a 1 to 10 point scale, with 1 being the lowest and 10 being the highest. And so if we think about what he's doing now, he's making some sounds. He's imitating a little bit, and at least he has some word approximations, possibly. You're not certain of that, if it's really a word or not. Okay. You notice that when you sing, he fills in the last word of a song. When you stop, at least it seems like it might be the last word of a song.
Right.
So on the scale of 1 to 10, where would you put his speech language right now?
Well, probably about a 2, or maybe a little bit under a 2. He can sometimes express himself a little bit, but not very well.
Okay, so right now he seems to be, you would put his speech language at a 2, and maybe a little lower, did you say?
A
low 2.
Right.
Okay. Now let's look to the future a little bit and think ahead. And let's think about a time when you would feel that Johnny's speech language is right on track, and he's maybe not even in need of services anymore, and you're pretty satisfied with how he's doing. What would his behavior be like at that point, do you think?
Well, you know, as we discussed, and as you know, Johnny has Down syndrome, so I certainly don't expect him to be a perfect speaker, but what I'd really like is if he could just have several words that he knew what they meant, and we understood him, his teacher understood him, and that those could be put in sentences so that he could express himself and make his wants known.
Okay, so if he were on track, he'd be using some sentences, making his needs and wants known to you and his family and his teachers and
right, other people. That would be terrific.
And what number do you think you would apply to that behavior?
On a scale of
1 to 10 again.
Well, I'd be really happy with a 7. I mean, I don't ever expect Johnny to be perfect, but 7 would be a lot of progress in my mind.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. Most people aren't a 10 in speech language.
Well, I'm certainly not.
And I'm not either. Let's think about now his speech right now again. And if we were to move him up, you were to move him up maybe half a point or a point, what would he be doing to reach to make it 2.5 or 3?
Well, if he could, if he had just 2 or 3 words that sounded like real words that I understood, and it seemed like he knew what they meant, that would be a change.
Okay, so let's think about that. He'd use 2 or 3 words, and you'd be able to understand them.
Yeah, they don't have to be perfect, but right now, I'm not even sure if they're actual words or if he's just making sounds.
Mm-hmm. But it would clearly be a word that he would be pretty consistently used to identify something.
Exactly.
Okay. And it might not sound all like you would say it.
Well, no, I wouldn't expect him to do that. He's only 4 years old.
Okay. And do you think, would these words be in imitation of you, or would they be spontaneously produced?
Well, I'd like them to be spontaneous. I would like him to be able to just say them.
Okay.
That would be the very best, so, but I don't know if he can do that right now.
Yeah, so our short-term goal then would be right now to maybe add 2 or 3 words to his vocabulary, and words that are said in a consistent way so that you understand them, and that he would use spontaneously.
Right. That would be terrific.
Okay. So are there ever times when he's said a word that you could understand and know pretty certain that this was a word for him?
I don't know. I mean, I think I know him so well that I think he's using the word, but he says it so unclearly that I'm not sure. So, for example, when we sing together, I like to sing to him like "Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star" and mm-hmm. "Row, Row, Row Your Boat." And mm-hmm. as I told you earlier, I'll sometimes leave off the last word of a phrase, and he'll make a sound like for "twinkle, mm-hmm. twinkle, little," you might say "ah."
Okay.
And I think, I just wish it sounded a little more like "star."
A little more like "star."
Or when he's, when he wants some milk, for example, I know he wants milk because he points to it in the refrigerator, and he might say something like, "eh." But I don't know if, I mean, that doesn't sound even close to milk.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he might know what he's saying.
Okay. Well, then, let's think about now some things that you might do at home to help him say 2 or 3 words spontaneously. And we'll probably start with imitation, since that leads to saying words spontaneously.
Okay.
Okay, so, and we'll try them out here. I'll describe them for you, and then we'll try them out and see how they work for you. So one thing I'm thinking is that when you sing the song with him, like "Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star," where is he when you're singing?
Oh, we're sitting on the couch and just sitting next to each other usually.
Okay.
Or I'm holding him on my lap.
All right. If you're holding him on your lap, or if he's next to you, just kind of squeeze him over toward you and have your arms around him maybe.
Maybe if he could see my face, he
Well,
might.
he could turn on your lap and look at you
Maybe
even.
if he saw me saying the words, that might be
A very
helpful.
good idea. So let's say he's sitting on your lap facing you, and you're singing the song. You could maybe bounce him around, bounce him a little bit with the rhythm of the song. So you're moving him up and down as you raise your toes, and you're thinking, you're singing, "Twinkle, twinkle, little," and then you stop, and he's up in the air a little bit right now, in my imagination anyway. And you pause, and he says something, and if he says anything, start up the rhythm again and say, "Good, that's really good," and show your happiness, show how happy you are that he did that, but also repeat the word.
Oh.
And so you also say, "Star." You said star.
If he makes a sound.
If he makes a sound.
Even
first
though it doesn't sound like star.
Right. Even if it doesn't sound like star, reward his vocalization.
Okay.
That is, reinforce it. Let him know you're happy that he vocalized.
Okay.
And then let him hear how you say it again. So you'd say, "Star." And even bounce him one time for the word star. You said star. Star. Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
Oh, hear that right there. It sounded like he said
it. It did.
Well, we'll practice that and maybe show you what happens when we meet with you next week.
Okay. So that's one thing you already do, and I think we'll practice that here too, just to see how it looks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of, you told me something else that you did with him. It was...
When he's going for the milk.
That's right. When he says muck or something that's...
There's no it's just eh.
Eh. It's not, he says eh. And at that time you have the milk in front of him. He's looking at the milk.
Uh-huh.
So you'd be setting it down maybe.
I'm taking it out of the refrigerator and pouring a glass for him.
Okay, and you pour it, and you could say milk as you pour it. You could say milk, milk, and looking at him while you pour once in a while, you know, look over.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you're done pouring it, hold it in your hand, hold it up by your mouth a little bit, and say, "Here comes the milk, here's the milk,"
okay.
And exaggerate it like that, milk. And set it down and say, "Milk," as you set it down.
I can do that.
And if he says, again, if he says anything, reinforce it, be happy, show your happiness. And then you say the word again several times, "Milk," and you say it exaggerating those sounds a little bit.
Yeah, I can do that. He's a happy little guy, and so he's always smiling and is excited when I talk to him, so that I can do those.
Well, you and your husband describe him as being very playful.
Yes,
and
he
so
is.
So I think he would like these things. Let's just try it.
Okay.
And at this point, I would have Mary and Johnny.
End of role play?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the end of the role play.
Uh-huh.
I would maybe demonstrate or just have them do it and comment on what I was seeing and make sure that this would be something that would work for
okay.
them.
I think as a mother, I would like to see you demonstrate.
Okay,
to,
I like to
not
demonstrate.
Not right now, but then
right.
rather than putting myself on the spot
okay.
with this right away.
All right.
All right.
So that's
scaling.
Scaling.
Leading to an assignment.
Right.
And the next technique is amplification, another technique borrowed from family therapy. And in this technique, the clinician notices an event that occurs in the session or something that a client or family member describes that happened between sessions. And the clinician notices it because it's likely to lead to speech language change. And then the clinician names what she or he has noticed. And then together, the clinician and the client discuss this. And here again, we're going to do another role play of something that actually happened.
Yes, we'll do a role play that occurred on a home visit that I was on with a student. And in this home visit, Chrissy was the child. She was 4 years old, and her mother was concerned because Chrissy's speech was sometimes difficult to understand. As I listened to Chrissy and administered an articulation test with her mother participating, in fact, she held the pictures even, I didn't really hear, it didn't sound like an articulation problem, it didn't sound like a phonological problem, it just sounded like imprecise speech. So that she just slurred words. And so what I did was make a list of 10 words that Chrissy could say perfectly. So we worked with Chrissy and found 10 words that she could say perfectly. Her mother agreed that these were said perfectly. And we suggested that she practice these words during the week. And when Chrissy says the words and they sound as good as they did today, be sure and let her know. Let her know you're happy about that. Reinforce it.
So the following week, Jim and the student came back to my house, and as soon as they arrived, Chrissy ran out the door to meet them at the car.
So we were driving up the driveway, the window was down, windows were down because it was summer, and Chrissy ran out onto the driveway and followed the car up, and by my window she kept saying, "Banana, banana, banana." And when we got out of the car, she kept saying banana as we walked up to the house, over and over, banana, banana. And we got to the door, and
Chrissy can say banana.
I heard her say banana about 20 times.
She's been saying it all the time for about 4 days. She keeps saying it and saying it.
And it sounds perfect.
It does. Did you hear how you could understand every single part of it?
All 20 times she said it, it was perfect.
Right, it
all
is.
Three syllables were there, and
it
she
is.
Seemed very happy that uh-huh. she could do that.
She is.
And how did that come about?
Well, we had just come home from the grocery store, and I put the bag on the kitchen floor, and she pulled out the bananas because she really likes them, and you know, waved them at me with her like she does, and I just picked one off and I held it up and I said, "Banana, banana." And she said it.
She just said it perfectly the
I've
first
time. I've
never
heard her say it before.
So you held the banana, you showed her the banana. It kind of looks like, as you describe it, that you were holding it up by your mouth a little bit. So she could see the banana at the same time she could see your mouth.
Oh,
maybe.
I didn't think of that, yeah.
And you said it very clearly.
I did, banana, because I thought if she could hear it like that, she might say it.
Mm-hmm. And you looked right in her eyes, it looked like. You kind of bent over, so you'd be mm-hmm. a little closer to her level mm-hmm. and said the word. Mm-hmm. And you exaggerated it just a little bit, it sounds like.
I did.
And she did it.
And she said it, and she's been saying it perfectly ever since.
Yes, and she loves it.
She does. And you know, my mother told me that I should be a teacher, and I thought, oh, I can't be a teacher, but now I'm thinking maybe my mother was right.
I think maybe she was. I think you'd be a pretty good teacher. When we went back the next time, Chrissy met us again in the driveway and said, lightning bug, all the way up to the house.
Now, amplification, as we've described it, may sound something like reinforcement, but it's quite different than reinforcement because it's not part of a planned schedule of treatment. It requires that the clinician really be alert to an event that will lead to speech language change and describe this so that the mother, the client, the teacher, whoever owns that as their own ability to help create change. So you may want to try scaling when you begin treatment with new clients, or you may want to try amplification, which can be used in your clinical work as well as with friends and family.
At our next podcast, we're going to be describing home assignments or suggestions that we give to clients and family members to do at home.